All right, episode one of
Julie and Reed's adventures and outdoor recommendations.
And journaling, which sometimes we're not the best at sharing all the places we've gone. So we decided, why not start a podcast and we'll summarize all the things that we did in a certain location.
And then that way we don't have to write it. Or maybe we can turn it into some auto-writing thing. Because our hang-up seems to be writing. So instead, we're going to talk you through it today.
Yeah, so we're dialing in from Bridgeport, California, which is about, I don't know, an hour north? No, yeah, about an hour north of Mammoth Lakes.
We came up here today. We left Mammoth. We were sad to leave by Mammoth.
Yeah, but we'll be back. We always have a comeback list because we never get to everything we want to do.
Yes, but we did do a few things this time that were on our comeback list from last time.
Which, 2018 was the first time we came back, came to Mammoth. It was fall, September. We had just finished up in Black Rock City, and we made our way down 395 between Tahoe all the way down to Joshua Tree over 4 months.
And I broke my ankle in Tahoe, so when we came through Mammoth, we didn't do a lot, or I didn't do a lot anyway, because I was hobbling around on a scooter
or a peg leg.
But we still loved Mammoth and knew we needed to come back. So we're excited to have come back in the winter this time. The reason we came is because we have the Icon Pass, which Mammoth is on the Icon Pass, Mammoth Mountain. And we're doing a little ski tour. We started out of our condo in Durango, made our way west, and hit up Big Bear in Southern California, which was great. It was this cute little resort, more like a kind of locals resort for LA. And now we're up in Mammoth, which is our second resort on the list for Icon Pass.
Yeah, Big Bear had a ton of potential. I think it was busy. I think it's small and very close to LA, so you definitely probably want to hit that on the weekday, because even on the weekday, it felt much busier than any other place we've been on, like a random weekday without a ton of snow.
Yeah.
But it was really cute town.
Cute I know town we're talking up about in the mountains. We were staying in Barstow, which is a desert.
South of Barstow, 30 minutes.
South of Barstow, 30 minutes, which is a desert town. And so to drive up to Big Bear from there was like a completely different ecosystem. You start in the desert where you're surrounded by like kind of cactuses and sagebrush, and then you drive up 3,000 feet or so and you're all of a sudden at the top of these beautiful mountains, and it's like a ski town. It was really cool.
Yeah, really convenient, I think, from like LA. Anyway, from there we made our way to Bishop, where we spent...
Well, first we went to Lone Pine.
Oh, that's right. We spent two nights in Lone Pine.
We drove up 395, which, if you haven't heard of 395, it's one of the most amazing scenic highways we've ever driven. And it's on the eastern Sierras, so like the eastern side of the Sierras that kind of slice through the middle of California. And probably the undiscovered side of California. I don't think a lot of people... No. a lot of people think of California as the coast, and this is kind of the inland, I guess... scenic mountainous area. It's actually on the other side of the mountains from like the national parks. So the Kings Canyon, Yosemite, and Sequoia are all on the western side of the Sierras. So we're kind
of
like, you know, as the crow flies directly, well, Big Bear and Mammoth were like directly east of some of those national parks.
Yeah. And it was 395 was super fun. Years ago, we always been wanting to come back, and the time hasn't been right, so there it is, Icon Pass. So we started in Lone Pine, which is where the access point is to Mount Whitney, the highest 14er in the lower 48. But the town of Lone Pine is adorable. If you've seen the movie Tremors with Kevin Bacon, that's where that was filmed. We spent some time here in 2018 again, but the rock formations here are just mind-blowing. There's nothing like this anywhere else. It's
Lots of climbing and bouldering. It's just these like piles of rocks that form these mountains. And then, well, hills really. And then beyond those hills is Mount Whitney and like some of the tallest mountains on the continent. So Mount Whitney actually is the tallest mountain on the lower 48. And it's just incredible, especially in the winter. It was beautiful, like with the snow-covered mountains in the back. And one disappointing thing was that... The Dispersed camping has really been limited around there. And there used to just be like a ton of it. Now they've limited it. And there's all these City of LA signs everywhere that says, basically, the City of LA owns this land. You can't camp here, which we found very interesting. And so I looked into it. And apparently the City of LA, back in the early 1900s, came over to the Eastern Sierras and pretended to be farmers and ranchers and bought up all the land along 395, literally from like Lone Pine, which is on the southern end, all the way up through
to Mammoth almost.
So they literally own all that land. And the reason they own it is for the water rights, because we all know LA is like a desert city and doesn't have water. So they wanted the water from the Eastern Sierras. So they created all these aqueducts and pipelines,
hundreds of miles long,
and literally sucked the lakes dry. There was a lake here called like Owens Lake, and they completely sucked it dry. And now it's like the biggest dust bowl out west, and it's the biggest cause of pollution, I think, in the states, in the U.S. It's
dust pollution. Yeah.
And so I learned all this as I was, you know, searching why the City of LA owns all this land, like, you know, hundreds of miles away. And apparently even homeowners in Lone Pine and Bishop don't even own their homes. They have to lease them from the City of LA.
Maybe some of them, yeah.
It's been, yeah, there might be some people that own them, but it's been a big point of contention in these little towns because these towns are not rich. They're not like the LAs and the, you know, San Francisco's or, you know, Monterey.
Are you talking about Kevin Bacon
California?
Doesn't have a house here?
And they're small little towns and people are hardworking and they don't have a lot of money and they just want to own their own homes. And so there's been a lot of like back and forth conflict, and the City of LA has said, oh, we'll let you own your homes, but we're going to keep the water rights because obviously they need the water, which is also frustrating because, you know, these areas need their own water too. So it's just been interesting. And there's actually a movie called Chinatown that we need to watch. That
tonight.
It's on our list. Maybe we'll watch it tonight. That actually talks a little bit about this and how it happened and what's going on with it.
Right.
So, Anyway, I have a petition, and I'm going to include it in the podcast notes that you can sign. It's a really little one. I didn't create it. Somebody else created it. But I'm hoping that we can get some awareness to the fact that the City of LA should not own all this land and all these water rights somewhere far, far away, and that the people in this area should have that. So, anyway.
I think if even 1% of the 3 million people listening to this podcast take action, we'll make some significant impact. Yeah.
So that's my spiel about it. But anyway, it is a beautiful area for climbing and bouldering. It's very scenic. Wish the City of LA didn't own it all. But
so first stop, Lone Pine. There's some towns before that, but you can skip them. Let's be honest. Then you get to Lone Pine. And then up from Lone Pine, there's a town called Big Pine. From where you can access the Bristlecone Forest, National Forest. And these are the oldest trees on the entire planet. They're like 5,000 years old.
Yeah.
And we made our way to try to go see them, but there was a lot of snow on the ground and we started late. We were overconfident that we could just get there and back, but it was cold. Alpha didn't have any booties. And it was a little late to get started. So we made our way as far as we could. And then we saw a 4Runner with a winch stuck and trying to get themselves out. And they were way more capable of a rig than we were. And we decided otherwise in our truck. So we decided to hike in. We hiked about, I don't know, 3 or 4 miles that day. But we knew we couldn't get there. And it's something we want to definitely come back to. So it's on the comeback list.
Yeah, so we knew that these ancient pines were there. We didn't get a chance to see them last time we were here. So we went to the visitor center to see if that was something we could do. And the visitor center didn't really know. He's like, I think it's snow covered, but, you know, if you go there, let me know. And so we did let him know that it's pretty snow covered and we wouldn't recommend going out there if you're not pretty capable in the snow. We are intermediately capable in the snow, and our truck did a good job, although there were times when we definitely could have gotten stuck. And we didn't end up seeing the ancient pines. I'm really disappointed, but it was an experience and an adventure, and Alpha really loved. The thing is, the road's like completely closed off, and we were the only car there except for this other car that got stuck. And the people that got stuck were actually there for work trying to put up some like antennas or something. So we were actually the only people crazy enough to go out there as tourists. But Alpha loved it. She was able to walk down the middle of the road, just like she did in India, as a street dog. And nobody was going to get mad at her. And she loves the snow, so she did some zoomies. And so it wasn't a wasted day, but we're definitely going to have to put it on our comeback list, which A lot of you probably think we go to somewhere and we see everything we want to see because we're there for like a month, which I would think too. But, you know, we're working and there's so much to see in a lot of these places that I actually have a lot of times a list of stuff and we don't get to it all. So I used to get kind of frustrated, and now I've decided it's an opportunity for us to come back, and it's called my comeback list, because really, like, these places are so amazing that we don't want to see everything in the first time anyway.
It actually leaves you with something to look forward to for the next time. So exciting. And you already have, you know, a kind of a adventure list for the next time. So it cuts down on research for the following time. So
yeah.
We should share the comeback list sometime.
Yeah. So that's the kind of the 395 road trip. Like, you can drive up from Lone Pine, LA area. It's how a lot of people get up to Mammoth.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can drive down from Reno and go through Tahoe and get down to Mammoth. Each of them are probably a 3-4 hour drive, 5 hours maybe from LA. 5 hours from San Diego.
Probably closer to Reno.
Yeah, closer to Reno. But like, then you get to Bishop, and Bishop is like an hour from, no, 45 minutes from Mammoth. So it's kind of the closest like town to Mammoth on the south side. So technically you could probably stay in Bishop and go to Mammoth because it's a 45 minute drive. And Bishop is actually a lot warmer than Mammoth because Mammoth
like
is up on the mountain. It's like 3,000 feet lower. And when we were there, we stayed there and it was probably like in the 50s and 60s. Well, maybe
we had
60,
a 160 day.
160 degree day. So it was warmer and, you know, there's a lot of rock climbing around there. It's a huge rock climbing and bouldering destination. So you can maybe do some multi-adventure days. And Bishop was actually a really cool town too for... had a cool brewery, Mountain Rambler, that we loved.
Yeah. Mooney Beans Coffee Shop is the bomb.
Then the best part about Bishop is their gear exchange store. Like, it's a used outdoor gear store. And I remember it from 3 years ago because I bought a bunch of stuff and brought in some stuff. And so I did the same this year. I bought quite a few things. Super excited about these, like, fleece-lined outdoor pants that I bought from Duluth Trading Company there for like $40. And they're gonna be awesome for winter when it's cold. But they're still cute. And then I brought a bunch of stuff in too. So, and they give you 75% of everything you sell, which is amazing for
a consignment shop. Sorry to cut you off. We love outdoor used goods stores. We try to find them everywhere, every location we go. So Moab Gear Trader is an amazing one if you're in Moab.
Durango has a good one. Gear Exchange.
Yeah.
Outdoor Gear Exchange.
Breckenridge has some. So if you're ever in outdoor
Steamboat has one.
Yeah. They're awesome because there's a lot of, you know, the gear is made to last for so long. And sometimes people just don't want it for long enough. And, like, or you get tired of it. Like, we have perfectly great clothes that we're just sick of wearing. So we take those in.
We just listened to Patagonia podcast that says they want their stuff to be lifetime, you know, lifetime wearing. And so they will fix it, they will patch it, they will do whatever they need to do. They have like a used gear shop on their site. And so obviously the stuff is made to last. And I think a lot of people get into the outdoors and realize that, you know, they don't like it or they don't like certain things and, you know, things don't fit them. And you can get some great deals.
So a lot of e-commerce places, not to get distracted, trying to solve for this too. Rerouted is one of them. And
Rerouted. Arc'teryx has a used gear shop on their site, and so does Patagonia, which I still need to check both of those out. But I found that out from a girl in the Bishop gear shop. So
yeah, so more, maybe we should come back with like our shopping
habits. We'll do another podcast on our favorite consignment deals.
So from Bishop, we spent about a week in Bishop. We tried the Bristlecone, didn't work. And then we headed up to Mammoth and we had the Icon Pass. We were hoping for snow, but the snow is like nowhere in the forecast for the next 10 days still. One quick note about Bishop. That's, I think, going to be the place where you fly into. So if you wanted to get to Mammoth or this area, I think Bishop is going to be your place if you want to fly direct.
They used to have flights to Mammoth, and they still do. Like, there's one airline that still flies to Mammoth, but it's a really high alpine airport and hard to land and super windy. So they actually just moved all the flights to Bishop, which is 45 minutes away, and it's a much easier airport. And United now flies to Bishop, and I think they're going to be able to get more commercial airlines to fly to Bishop versus the Mammoth airport. So it's only a 45-minute drive, and it's a beautiful drive. Like, it's stunning. So they're trying to really promote flying, and we'll see how many destinations they have coming up here, because I know that they're trying to promote more destinations coming to Bishop Mammoth.
Yeah. If you're a real estate investor, take a look at Bishop.
Except you'll have to buy it from the city of LA.
Which is probably going to charge you too much. All right. So winter in Mammoth, that's kind of what we wanted to surround this podcast around. So first, just knowing like what's open in Mammoth outside of obviously the resort. And that's something we need to do more research on. But we were talking to some of the folks at the locals and, you know, asking about challenges in recreation, responsible recreation. I think one of the things that came up was knowing what's open during each season. I guess they have, you know, mud season and winter, which, you know, if you pull up all trails, it might show you some waterfall. That's absolutely beautiful, but you can't get to it in the winter. So,
and some of the top attractions in Mammoth, the things Mammoth are known for, like Rainbow Falls and Devil's Post Pile specifically, are like two things Mammoth is known for. And people think they can go there all year round, and they really can't. Like, you cannot access those areas in the winter. Although, I do want to find out if you can access them by snowshoe or cross-country skiing.
Yeah, we should look into that.
That would be cool. But
that would be cool.
TBD on that one.
So we spent 3 days at Mammoth Mountain. All weekdays, so we don't know how busy it was in the winter. But we'll cover like what we loved about Mammoth Mountain, and I'll have my list, and maybe Julie's got hers. But we spend a lot of time thinking on, while we're out there, like what we love about each resort. And the first thing to me was it feels really big and really accessible. Like, you can show up in like 3 or 4 different parking lots that are along this main road that leads to the resort, and then you could just start anywhere and you can end up anywhere on the mountain within like just like 40 minutes of not even 40 minutes. How long do you think it takes from one side to the other? Like 20 minutes. I feel like you could be from one side to the other.
There's a lot of lifts, a lot for like the terrain. And so it's not like one of those mountains where you have to ski down a run and up a lift and down a run and up a lift. You basically can go down a run, up a lift, and be on the other side of the mountain.
And lots of lodges. Like, you never feel that, oh, I have to go to the bathroom or I have to go get a beer. Probably in reverse.
Yeah, and there's 3 different base areas. And then there's also, at least two, like, lodges up at the top.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll put, like, a map of the mountain. Let's see. Lots of different trails, lots of different lifts. We started, personally, most days at the bottom of the mill. So we would park at the bottom of the mill, and we would take different chairlifts up from there. And you could take a lift all the way to the summit. That only takes like, 20 minutes to get to the summit? Maybe longer.
Well, it depends.
Maybe
30 minutes. Gondola. So the gondola actually starts down in town, and you can take it to Midway, and then you can take it all the way to the top. I don't know how long it takes.
Yeah, the upper panorama gondola. But it just
so
never feels
like...
The
cool thing with the gondola is, even if you're not skiing, you can take it up. And you can go up to the top and take pictures, and we saw people up there that were not skiing.
Yeah. It's beautiful views up there of the Sierras. So we spent 3 days really exploring all the terrain. There's endless blues. I feel like it's a really great place for intermediate, even beginner riders and skiers. Mostly because the runs are really wide, I felt like. I feel like it gives you space and ability to kind of get away from people. There were a few narrow runs.
Lots of varied terrains. Even some terrain parks that were, like, for beginners.
Yeah.
A couple different terrain parks for beginners, which I loved because I don't do crazy jumps, but I like to try, like, little tiny things. So that was
cool. They had a progression in terrain parks, but very different parts of the mountain. So you're never next to, like, somebody that's trying to hit a 40-foot jump, and you're next to them doing
They had a mini terrain park, and then they had, like, an insane Olympic qualifying terrain park with a half pipe and everything. So they've got it all.
For sure. And I think I really enjoyed we didn't get to hit the tree runs because all that snow was really kind of iced over. But I can't wait to come back in like powder, conditions.
Those tree runs looked
amazing. They were like wide open tree runs, not like super narrow stuff.
But the cool thing about the runs we did do is that the snow quality was actually pretty good, even though it hasn't snowed in,
3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Probably hasn't really snowed since Christmas.
No.
So... apparently, from the locals we talked to, it's because the mountain is north facing, and so it doesn't get like a lot of sun, and so the snow is really preserved. And then there's a lot of wind that circulates the snow, and it creates like really great conditions even if it hasn't snowed lately. So we appreciated that. Like it kind of felt like, it didn't feel like a powder day, but it felt like a day where it had snowed in the last week. And it wasn't icy. Like, there were no icy spots.
Yeah, there were no icy spots. Not even, like, windblown.
Yeah.
Which was pretty nice. I will have to say, we will take a weekday with absolutely zero lift lines almost over a powder day.
Yeah.
It felt amazing. You get so much more time on the mountain. We feel like the ultimate hack is to go on a weekday, non-holiday week.
Yeah.
And do that's not where you maximize. If you can, if you can.
If you can, don't go on the weekend. If you have a choice, don't go on the weekend and don't go over the holidays. If you have to, it's better than not going at all. But you're just not going to get as many runs in. Like, we did, 3 hours one day and we got like 25 runs in. And 3 hours on a weekend or holiday, you're going to stand in line so much that like you're never going to get 25 runs in.
Or it might take you a full day. I think we talked a lot about this. Like, to get on a busy weekend, like we used to, you get in on a weekend, you wake up, you know, you're trying to take first chair and you're taking the last chair out. You're spending almost about the same time on the runs,
right,
as you are on a weekday without like crowds. So I don't know. I guess we're trying to
like a couple hours
share the hack that if you can go on a weekday, even if you're working remotely and just can squeeze in like 3 hour chunk of time, you'll still have a pretty good time.
Or if you're taking a few days off work and you're doing like a Wednesday to Sunday, go ski Thursday, Friday, and then go do a snowshoe adventure or cross country or something like that on the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, spreads it out.
Yeah. Like,
that's a good way, yeah. And then get back to skiing on Monday.
Yes.
Or snowboarding.
So another great thing about Mammoth, and another reason we may come visit again, is that they have a really late ski season. And the snow sticks around for a while because it's north-facing and because they get some of these late snowstorms. So apparently March is a really great time to visit, and even April. Sometimes it's open through May.
Or July.
July. I think it has stayed open until July.
For sure.
But average, records. I feel like it's May or June.
Yeah.
Which is amazing for how far south it is. So we're thinking of packing up Vanny and coming out here at some point in April or May.
And if you don't know about Vanny, it's a 16-foot 1992 Chevy Astro Pro van. More to come on that in the future. Yes. We're going to cut our traveling home in half the size. Right now we're in a 32-foot Class A. We're going to go to 16 feet. We'll keep you posted how that goes. All right. Other things we want to do in Mammoth outside of snowboarding.
More on like what's available in the winter is, you know, obviously you can snowshoe, you can cross-country ski. There's the Inyo craters are down on the scenic drive, and every day there was like a pile of cars there, like either snowshoeing, hiking, or cross-country skiing to the craters. We did not do that, but that's on our comeback list because it looks amazing. The cross-country skiings. No, first we'll do adventures.
Okay.
Cross-country skiing. There's tons of places you can cross-country ski to. Tamarack is a completely like devoted area. And then when we went down past June Lake, we even saw some people ice skating and playing hockey on June Lake.
Oh, and off the scenic drive, there's a scenic loop. There's definitely groomed cross-country trails. So if you're into cross-country, you probably know which apps to look into and how to find that. But we can't wait to get into it. My elbow has been killing me lately, so I chose to skip this trip. But
yeah,
that's something we really want to try.
We're heading up to Tahoe next, so we're going to do it up there with our friend Amy.
Yeah.
Still lots of stuff you can do in the winter, even though some stuff is definitely not accessible. But be flexible and check in with the visitor center on what's open and what's not. One thing that is open.
Yeah, I'm surprised actually. The hot springs are open, but you have to hike into them. I think there's like a really passionate community of hot spring folks that keep the spring itself maintained, and they add like clean the tubs and do all that, which I learned about.
Do you have to pay to go there?
No, well, there's both options. So south of Bishop, there is a hot spring between Bishop and Big Pine. I can't remember the name, but for non-paid hot springs, there's some like natural pools, and there's probably like six at least. Like,
yeah,
very known.
Six or seven. They're
Wild Willies,
15 minutes from Mammoth.
Hilltop.
you kind of go down the mountain and out of town across 395, and there's just like this big desert area with like
behind the airport
hot springs. And I think there's like a hot, obviously they're underground thermal, but there's like a hot river, and they divert some of the water into these like little man-made stone pools or concrete pools that people have somehow brought out there and made at some point.
It's really cool. I'm so glad they exist. I love going because I feel like we meet the most interesting people in the hot springs. You know, nobody, you just have this small pool or big pool, and everyone's hanging out. Nobody's on their phone. You just get to connect and share stories about their travels, your travels, and we always leave making new friends out of the hot springs.
Yes. Yeah. It's a great, great place to make friends and a great place to see the stars at night. So during the day is amazing, of course, but at night, like the stars out there are incredible.
Yeah. If you are going to go in the winter, just know it was cold AF on the way. It was like probably 0 degrees one
night. Yeah, you got to bundle up.
And
it's a hike.
It's a hike. You have to like leave your car on the road and hike in on some icy, snowy conditions and maybe up to a mile.
Yeah. In the summer, you can kind of pull up and park next to some of them. You still might have to hike a little, but in the winter, a lot of those roads are closed. So there's like a main road that you can drive in on, and then, you know, you hike through the snow and the ice. In fact, it's so icy that I even fell, but but it's not a bad hike. I mean, it's still really pretty, but it is colder, and it's colder than Mammoth. So yeah. Mammoth is actually, there's like
it's
this
a
inversion effect,
yeah,
where Mammoth stays warmer because I think it's protected by the mountains, but down here we're in the valley or down, you know, at the hot springs, so it actually is quite a bit colder than Mammoth.
So make sure you're prepared. Yeah, if your car doesn't start or something, we heard some horror stories. We won't go into them, but bring a trash bag. Sometimes you might find trash there, and it feels really good to leave these amazing, amazing natural places better than we found them, because a typical hot spring like that, you would have to go pay a private place, like $30 a day, but it's not the same experience when you're sitting in nature. And I think when some of these places get ruined, they get shut down or get overrun. So if you want to try to help, just bring along a trash bag or see if you find any litter along the way, or just try to maintain them and, you know, follow whatever local rules you might find. Anyway.
So Hilltop and Willie's are probably the closest to the road. They don't call it Wild Willie's anymore.
Oh, they're no longer wild.
It's not Wild Willie's
they're
anymore.
No longer wild. Tame Willie's.
We thought it was called Wild Willie's, but on Google it's just called Willie's or something. Willie's.
Okay.
So those are the closest to the road, but probably will also have the most people in them. So, but having people in them is just a great opportunity to network and catch COVID. Just kidding.
It's outdoors. You're good.
It's outdoors. So with that, there's also some amazing sunrises and sunsets. So we really enjoy them in the hot springs, but honestly, anywhere you are, like there's just these amazing pink sunsets and sunrises in winter around here, and like to get out and just take some pictures of the mountains is it might be a good opportunity.
It's like the desert sunsets. I mean, I guess this is, a lot of this area is desert, right?
It's
they have a lot of
desert.
Sagebrush,
yeah,
and
it's like
but
desert.
It's like these grand views, and the sunset turns from pink to blue, and this time of year the mountains are covered in snow. I've not seen more beautiful sunsets than
here.
Yeah,
it's very pastel, like the pastel sunset.
And sunrises, actually the same in the morning if you can wake up early enough.
So we are waking up in the morning to go to Travertine Hot Springs, which is actually where we're parked now. It's about an hour north of Mammoth, and it was on my comeback list, and we never made it last time. And so this time we drove up here and we're camped nearby, and we're just going to go up at sunrise and sit in the hot springs for sunrise. I'm so excited.
All right. I think we're going to wrap this up with some of our favorite places that we went outside of the outdoors, because we know that there's so much more that we like to a town than just the outdoor adventures. And Mammoth is one of those really special towns because it has a lot of local restaurants and experiences. It's not very commercial. I think there's like one Starbucks and a couple of Subways or whatever, but
yeah, lots of, like most mountain towns, lots of very local stuff.
So I think first things first, gas might be really expensive in California, but thank you, Discount Grocer. This podcast is unofficially sponsored by Discount Grocer because it saved us so much money that we can afford to do a podcast.
That place is awesome.
It's so great.
It's literally like, I don't know, a third of the price of most grocery stores. And they have so many amazing options, even for like vegan, vegetarian stuff. Like they have, we bought vegan cheese. We bought these amazing
kind
wicked,
ice creams. Oh, well, yeah. Where do we start?
Wicked brand veggie burgers, jalapeno cheese veggie burgers.
Vegan.
Vegan burgers.
Yeah.
And then meatballs too that this Wicked brand makes, and then yeah,
kind ice cream. Like so the best
kind,
part is
you're kind not, bar brand yeah. ice cream.
You're not just saving money on like potatoes and onions. It's like really good shit. I feel like it was.
Yeah, and just yeah. for example, like I saw the Kind ice cream when I was at Walgreens, and I was like, oh, Kind Bar's making ice cream. It's plant based. It's amazing. I want to try it. And like one of those little cartons was like $7. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's kind
of. We don't need calories that bad.
Maybe I don't need it that much. Well, then we went to Discount Grocers and I was like, oh, Kind ice cream, $1.99. And, you know, I know a lot of people don't pay attention to the prices of groceries, but like sometimes, like when they're that much less expensive, like it's just a no brainer. So we've been there at least 3 or 4 times. There's one in Bishop and one in Mammoth. And we spend a lot of money there because it's totally worth it. We stock up as much as we can. And yeah, they even have like, oh my God, they had a corn, like tofurkey, but like the corn brand, Q-U-O-R-N, deli turkey slices, you know, vegan turkey. And I'm so excited to try it because I've had the corn, like tofurkey.
Is that the same turkey that we have? Okay.
Yes, and it's amazing. Yeah. So I'm really excited to try it. They even have stuff that I've, like I said, I've never tried before. So stoked about that place.
Our favorite coffee shops this time to either work or hang out in. Black Velvet is definitely more. You can like sit down and work, and they have like a 2 or 3 different areas and couches, and that's where you can go kind of spend a day.
There's three levels.
Fireplaces. It's pretty dope. Really good coffee.
Awesome handmade
really
lavender syrup that you can get in your coffee and very fast Wi-Fi.
And today we went to Looney Beans, which is another coffee shop near Rite Aid. And that one was more smaller fireplace, but more just like go read a book, hang out. It's not as like, I'm sure you can work from there, but there's not as many tables, but a really, really cool space.
Really toasty
cool
warm with their fireplace and had an incredible soy riso burrito.
Oh yeah, that's the bomb. The new brewery we tried this time was Distant Brewery. It was really cool. So that we can get a flight. And typically we try to get like, you know, all different types of beers that we like. But this time I noticed that they had 4 different hazy IPAs. And we absolutely love hazy IPAs, almost as much as sour personally. But
maybe
we decided
more.
To try all 4 hazies. And
so get a flight of 4 hazies when you go there because they're all amazing. I still do have a favorite, but they were all amazing.
You think you have a favorite, but then you try another hazy a few minutes later. You're like, oh, this one's really good. So I don't know if they're just pouring the same one in all 4 and changing the names, but they're all really phenomenal. We loved it. We can't wait to
amazing.
Go back.
And then some of our favorite outfitters, if you're looking to go do adventures, Black Tie Ski is there, and they are phenomenal. They have every kind of ski or snowboard you could possibly ever want, and they deliver it straight to your door. They'll bring different sizes and different options for you, and you don't have to do anything. They also are getting into summer activities, so they're going to have bikes for rent and
paddle boards
for rent this summer, so we're excited about that. And you can book them on Trip Outside. And ASO Mammoth is another good one. They have ski, snowboard, bike rentals.
Yeah, we try to get recommendations from not just Google reviews, but also locals and people that are in the community about what their favorite kind of outfitter is. And ASO, we keep hearing really great things about.
Mm-hmm.
And one more thing was we have gone to other breweries and other restaurants, but this is just for this trip.
Yeah, these are our favorites this time.
Yeah, we'll try to keep adding lists. Or if you're going, you can ping us and we'll send you a longer list.
Yes. But we're going to come back in late spring and early summer to come hike, paddle, bike, maybe get some snowboarding in. And there's also a really incredible scenic drive that you can do in the summer to Yosemite. It's closed in the winter, but you can literally drive from Mammoth to Yosemite, and it's incredible. So we will keep you updated on our summer adventures when we come back.
All right, what's on your comeback list? Just up $3.95. What would be just next time if we take this trip? What would you want to hit?
Well, because when we were here last time, we didn't do Rainbow Falls or Devil's Postpile because I had a broken ankle, and we didn't mountain bike in Mammoth. And so I really want to do all of those three things, mountain bike, Devil's Post Pile, Rainbow Falls. I want to do the Inyo Craters because we didn't get there. So that's all in Mammoth.
I think I'm going to do Mount Whitney, Bristlecone for sure.
Yes. Oh, Bristlecone, yes, because we didn't actually make it this time. Bristlecone, we'll do that.
There's like a history.
And then Mount Whitney Portal. So we drove up to Mount Whitney last time and then we hiked a little bit. I don't know how I hiked.
You had the peg leg thing. Hobbled along. It was pretty terrible.
and then Reet kept hiking a little ways, but we didn't actually make it to like the top of Whitney, and we'd love to do that. So that's on our comeback list.
Yeah.
And then of course there's all these amazing trails here too, like the John Muir Trail and the PCT, like all these long distance trails. So we heard today from a friend that Reet actually met in the Hot Springs, that he plans a trip every year for the fall, like some sort of big backpacking trip. And then he trains for it all summer. So he gets all these miles in and does all this amazing stuff in the summer to train for his big trip in the fall. And we were like, oh, that's a great idea. Like, we could totally do that. And then it creates a goal for you and it keeps you active all summer and like gets you out doing things. And then you get to like culminate it with like your amazing adventure.
We used to do this with races before. You know, we would like sign up for quarterly races or mountain bike races and things, adventure races. But I think you can do the same thing with big hikes or
big mountain bike packing trip or backpacking or multi-day adventure.
Maybe the next couple podcasts we'll figure out exactly what we're going to do and we'll say it so we hold ourselves accountable.
Yes.
And you can hold us accountable or join us.
And it could be a what's it called? The climate or the comfort crisis?
Oh, Misagi.
If any of you have read The Comfort Crisis, then you'll know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, I highly recommend it. We're going to try to do a Misagi this year, which may be our big adventure that really pushes us and gets us out of our boundaries and is something that we don't even think that we could maybe fulfill. So
Misagi, I think I get it right. It's something that is so incredibly hard that there's like a 50% chance or a 30% chance or something that you're not going to finish it. So it's not like this, I can definitely go do this, or I can train for it, I can definitely do it. So your confidence level can't be so high.
It's like,
and you can't die.
It's like, yeah, and you can't die.
The second thing is you can't die.
Me trying to run a 100-mile trail race. Like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that would be a Misagi.
That'd be a Misagi. Because I could definitely go run 5 miles on a trail right now, but... Or 10 maybe, but 100 would
You can make it anything, though. You could just, like, next weekend I'm going to do Misagi where I'm going to do something that'll take you out of your comfort zone based on where you are today.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be, like, an epic adventure.
It can be whatever you want. We're going to make ours centered around the outdoors and something to push us and get us beyond our comfort level. So more to come on that.
Yeah. So next up we're heading to... South Lake, we're going to hit Palisade.
South Lake Tahoe.
South Lake Tahoe, which I end up calling a Salt Lake Tahoe. I don't know why. It's become like a running joke. And now I just don't even correct myself. I just roll with it. South Lake Tahoe, we're going to hit Palisades. And I saw...
Palisades, which used to be called Squaw Valley. But
I tried to go paddleboard with Alpha one day. I saw Brett do it. And
well, you can't go in the water, though. Like, you can't... going. It's absolutely freezing. You get hypothermia. But what if Alpha fell in?
Well, I think we'll have to ask Alpha how
she feels.
I
think we'll leave Alpha off this. She's fallen in every time you've paddled.
She can sign the waiver. I've got a doggy waiver for her. No worries.
But yeah, so we're going to Palisades because that's on the Icon Pass. It used to be called Squaw Valley. That's the only Tahoe resort that is on Icon. So we're going to go ski that, pray for some snow, do some snow dances, although there's none in the forecast. And then visit our friends in South Lake Tahoe, go do some cross-country skiing because they're really big into that. So we're excited about that. And then we're going to head to Park City.
Yeah, I think rough plan for the Icon Pass to bring this to a wrap is Salt Lake and hit Solitude, Brighton, and Snowbird. And then we're going to go to Steamboat by the end of February, spend about a week there, then go down to Durango, back up to Winter Park mid-March. And we'll see after that where the snow is. But if you
still
find yourself
TBD
in any one of those places, do link up and we can get a ride in together.
Still kind of TBD based on snow. We want to be flexible. But yeah, we'll update you more on the next podcast about South Lake Tahoe and Palisades.
And if you're interested in finding out more, this will get published to tripoutside.com under the podcast section. And if you'd like to support us, check out Trip Outside for your next adventure, or simply just check us out and give us feedback. We're making a ton of big changes coming up. We're excited to announce those in about a month. And if you enjoyed this, please leave a comment or let us know, and let us know what you liked and what you'd like to hear more of. We're going to try to do this recap more often of places we love, and maybe we'll go back in the history books and pull up some of the towns that we've been to when we're not traveling. But hopefully that doesn't happen and we can play catch up though. Well, thank you. Thanks everyone for listening. How do you feel, Julie?
Pretty good.
Think it's a good idea?
It was a little longer than we expected, but hopefully good information.
Julie's losing
me. We'd love your feedback.
She's out of here. All right. Well, thanks everyone. Hope wherever you are, you're having a great week. Bye for now.